Texas. King is, how's everybody doing here tonight? Give me an amen so I know this microphone is working. All right, good. I'm glad to see that. Welcome everybody. Look like old Fred himself ain't gonna make it, so I'm not sure what's going on with him, but be the first time that he actually missed this place using Zoom, so you know, it's all right. But anyway, it's Friday night. Y'all are here. Message is laid to my heart, and I hope that you're looking forward to it, because I am myself. So I was thinking about what y'all was going to write or speak to you about this Friday night. And as always, you know, a lot of times I'm usually thinking about something ahead, and sometimes I've already got something in the works. But when I gave the message last Friday, I had nothing coming to me, even sitting at church and all week long. But I was thinking about something we did Sunday evening. You know, discipleship, we kind of took a little, what we call as a detour from our normal classes. And we was kind of looking at about the universe of God, you know, his creation. So this is what I was kind of thinking of tonight. And I was thinking about this, you know, and I'm going to start this off. And I want y'all to kind of follow along with me in this. It's a little rougher, if you want to call it this. And the heaven declare the glory of God. Now, I want you tonight to pause and think about what this statement really means. And the heavens declare the glory of God. Think about that. What it really means. I know I'm getting you to think a little quicker, but that's why I just want you to think where we're going with this. Now I want to ask you, when was the last time you took the time to pause in wonder and stand in awe as you stared into the night sky? Folks, I'm not talking about just a quickie little glance, or as they call it, a fleeting glance. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a long, long, lingering look into the heavens. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to do because we deal with what we call with light pollution. You know, you go outside, you're around so much light, you know, it's hard to see, you know, the stars, the heavens. But I can reflect on, last year or the year before that, when me and my wife took a vacation, the place we were staying at, you know, we decided to go sit out and watch the sunset. You know, this place was, you know, where we had to drive up the mountain. It was almost like 6,000 feet in elevation. But as we was watching the sunset, I said, you know what, let's just watch it. Let the sun go down and just let's sit here, you know, at night and just kind of admire the stars. And I kind of figured, you know, like this area, yeah, you're going to see a few little stars like you normally do. Man, but when it got real dark and your eyes were adjusted and I looked up, wow, I was blown away. I mean, it looked like it was snow in the sky. So many stars, I could not believe it. It's just like, wow, how come I don't see this at home? And it goes to show you how much light pollution stops you from seeing the heavens. But that's what I'm talking about. When you actually stare at the sky and you think about God's glory. You know, to many people, and this is why I felt this way about this message tonight. See, to us folks, the mystery of, you know, the awe or the I can't even describe it. It's just like, wow, you know. But see, that mystery has become something of what I call an endangered animal in our world. And the tragic result is that we become inoculated against the awe and the resistance. Or, let me back up, we became inoculated against the awe, and we became resistant to the sense of the wonder. See, I got this quote when I was putting this together. Albert Einstein once said this. He says, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger can no longer pause to wonder and stand in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." And one of the tragedies of modern man is the loss of mystery. We have grown, friends, so accustomed to the breakthroughs, the discoveries, the technologies. We became perfectly unimpressed. Startling new advances barely capture our attention. And why should they? In all honesty, why should they not capture our attention? Because quite frankly, we see the announcement made basically almost every day. Oh, they did that? Oh, found that? Oh, came up with that? Okay, you know. I remember back in the times when something new came to you, or something that you just made aware of, it just blew your mind. I was reminded by what the deacon said Sunday night when I showed him the film called Indescribable, Louis Giglio. I don't know if some of you know who he is or if you have watched his videos or whatever, but that's the first time I showed that group. And he just looked at me and said, "You know, I'm so old." But man, that blew my mind listening to what he had to say. But see, today's times, when we find out something new, we just kind of like, eh, okay. I want us to think about it tonight, folks. When was the last time that you took the time to pause in wonder and stand in amazing awe as you stared into the night sky? And I'm not just talking about a quick little glance, a 15, 20 second, 30 second type thing. I'm talking about us doing a long, lingering look into the heavens. But if we don't stop to ponder and wonder, if we never pause long enough to be overwhelmed with the size and grandeur of the universe, then folks, Albert Einstein is right. We are as good as dead. Even the church itself has yet to grasp the greatness or the perception of God. But when we take time to stop and look around us, or even if we looked into the night sky, we see all the creation that proclaims the greatness and wonder of God. That's right. We even see God's transcendence. That God is a bigger God than all creation itself. And it takes our breath away. We see a hint of God's real love. And yes, everyone has a perception of God. They do. The atheists, the skeptics, the sinners, world religion, Christians, and as Christians, we have done our very best to understand and explain God. Universities have, theological seminaries have, commentaries have, and on and on and on. And for all this, we, you and I, have barely scratched the surface of understanding how great God is. So how does a limited mind understand a unlimited God who is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent? How do we understand that? Folks, all this we have barely
even scratched the surface of understanding how great God is. We have. I mean, we just even know what God is, you know, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. I mean, we just still ain't enough finite mind that fully yet understand who God really is. Or really, let's look at it this way. How does a finite, temporary being such as us understand an infinite and eternal being? How do we understand him? Or how about this? Think about this one. How does that which has a birth and a death comprehend that which has no beginning and no end? See, how do we comprehend that? See, the more we think we know about him, folks, the more that you and I realize we don't know enough about him. Now, one of the things that the Bible points out and demonstrates the greatness of God is the creation all around us and the heavens above. And she just posted the verse for you, but I'm going to read it out of my Bible. We're going to Psalms chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And it's there on the screen for you to read. Now listen to this. This is what really kind of led me, you know, when we watched that video, but it led me to this message for you tonight, and starting Psalms 19, verse 1. And I love this, how he says it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. Thank you for being with us, Father. Thank you for just allowing us to wake up today. You know, I know a lot of times we may not give you all the thanks that we should. And I'm not saying we're doing things bad, but you know, maybe we just need to start taking time to look at the awesomeness, to look at the awe, to look at the creation, to look at how big you really are and how small that we are. I know a lot of times, you know, including me, I admit it to you many times in the past few weeks that I hadn't, you know, really done my best as I should have been doing. But you know, Father, I've been working on that. And it's not by my own works, it's by your help to help me understand you better. And as I was thinking about this message and thinking about that video we watched last Sunday, you know, and I started seeing just a small, minute portion of your universe. I don't have a clue of how big that universe really is. And I just was awed, and I was kind of refreshed and just thinking that everything was spun off just off of your fingertips. And everything is measured in your hands. Wow. Father, thank you for your gracious love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, bless those who are here tonight. They took time out of their busy schedule to come here. We were just talking about, you know, how can we try to reach out more people. I don't know what else to do. I guess they just don't want to install the software. We got all these members in that chat group and everything else, and it just seemed like nobody has the desire nor the hunger to attend these things, you know. We just don't have the funds and the programmers and everything else to try to start up new sites. But, again, I'm not going to worry about those things anymore. And I told the folks here, if they still keep showing up, then I'll keep doing this. You know what? But, you know, you are a great God. So bless those who are here tonight. Watch over them. Take care of them. Let them know that you love them. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask of you to strengthen them and encourage them and lift them up. Help them through whatever difficulties they are facing. We know that we make mistakes at times, and you are a gracious and loving God. And you do forgive us where we have fallen short of your precious glory. So we give all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Goes to you in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, well, I got to grab some water. That's why I titled this message, my friends, "The Heavens Declare the Glory of God." I just couldn't help, thinking about, looking at that video, because we're going to do "How Great Is Our God," not this Sunday because of Mother's Day, but the following Sunday we're going to do it again. And Louis kind of ties it up, what he did on the first part of the Indescribable Tour. So I think those folks are going to be in for a real treat, because even though I watched it again yesterday, I was still blown away about the amazing things that's in this universe. But we should be blown away by the amazing things just on this planet. We should. We should be amazed by every new thing that comes down the pike, and we should give the honor and glory back to you, but a lot of times we become complacent. But when I was looking at this verse, and I like it how the psalmist, he writes, and I love how he put these words together, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork." And I love how he worded this. And if you ever think about it, my friends, if you think about this, just like me, it makes you think and even ask some questions that I'm going to pose to you tonight. So, that's why I was thinking about this, and it posed questions to me in my mind. So I'm asking you to think about this as we go along, and I will pose some questions to you tonight and let you think about this. Then I don't know if it's getting close to nighttime, whatever, if you got time, if it ain't raining, snowing, or whatever, go sit outside and kind of stare at the heavens a bit. But I'm going to ask you right now, have you at any time ever thought about what is the reason, or why is the reason for God's creation or purpose? Have you ever thought about that? Now me, I can sum it up this way. God's purpose for the wonder of creation. You ready for this? God's purpose for the wonder of creation is to give us proof that he really exists. Boom. See? That's all it is to it. To give us proof that God exists. Now, how do we know this? Listen to what the words say about him in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Listen to what he wrote here. "From the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky and all that God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature." And notice the latter half of this passage here. "So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God." Now, I know translations put it in a different way, so but I want you to understand and see what Paul was saying here. People have no excuse for not knowing God. And again, in our scripture verse that we just read in Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, which says, "Heavens tells the glory of God. The skies displays his marvelous craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is silent in the skies, and yet their message has gone out to all the earth, and their words to all the world." Do you grasp that? Do you see that? Wow. That's how we should be seeing it. Wow. But sadly, many people over time, Okay. Seen it once, that's it. Have we become like Albert Einstein said, dead? Have we? And sadly, though man has used creation to try to show God does not exist, man tries that. He tries to use creation to show that God does not exist. But the fact is, my friends, that without God, man is unable to fully comprehend or even explain the universe. Well, here you go. How do we know this? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says this. Now, I love how this passage puts it. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 11 says, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity into the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Whew. You see, my friends, this reminded me that no one can discover everything that God has created in our world. No matter how hard they work at it, no matter how smart they become, and even the wisest people cannot know everything about Him. Even if they claim they do, they cannot know everything about God. You run across somebody that says, I know everything about God, you better do one or two things. You just better do one thing. You better turn around and run away. No one knows everything about God. No one, except for God Himself. Now, if you paid attention to much of what this world has said, some of man's explanations have come under heavy scrutiny lately, if you've been paying attention. If not, that's okay. You don't have to. But much of man's explanations have come under heavy scrutiny lately. You know why? Because some things now they are starting to find is really starting to point there is a God. How about this one? Such as the newly discovered galaxy cluster. It still baffles man's understanding of the age of the universe. They thought they knew how old it was. But now since they discovered this, now they just don't know. Oh, how about this? When they newly discovered planets 14 to 40 times the size of Jupiter, that sends astronomers back to the drawing board. A newly developed theory has come out. Well, it's probably been out, but a newly developed theory has been developed to explain it all. It's called the design theory. You see, friends, in this day and age, science is beginning to accept the fact, and I've been paying attention to this, science is now starting to accept the fact that there is a intelligent design to the universe, and if there is a design, then there must be a designer. Woo! Jim, you just didn't go there. Cause I guarantee you that will fire up some of those anti-God camps over there. Especially that God Hawkins. Well, sadly, he passed on. I wish, I don't know if he knew Jesus or not. I hope he did. But if he didn't, well, he's finding out now there is a designer. He's finding out now hell does exist. He's finding out now God is real. But see where I'm going with this? Scientists, and some of them now are starting to say, you know what? There's an intelligent design, so you know what? There must be a designer. It ain't just a big bang and it all just came together. No, something designed this. And now we're starting to rethink this. There must be some sort of designer. So what importance does this have for us? Simple. Let me collect my thoughts. What importance does this have for us? Well, to me, my friends, what I'm thinking right now, this tells us the importance of God's greatness for the Christians. That's what it does. That's what it does. See, as I said earlier, man cannot understand God because man is lacking one key element, the Holy Spirit. But you and I have been given His Holy Spirit, so we understand God in a way because we have His words. We have His Spirit. And His Spirit speaks to us and tells us and shows us and trains us and directs us and guides us and helps us. Without that, we cannot fully comprehend what God really is. And today's worldviews are what many believe or try to conceive us to believe. Folks, we're often faced with trials and fears that seems to overwhelm us. Even look at it in David's time, and he said it here himself in Psalms chapter 55, verse 5 through 7. Listen to what he said. And this was back in his day. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and a horror have overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I will fly away to be at rest. Lo, then I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. We feel like that sometimes when people try to tell us something different about God. Or when they try to explain it in their scientific ways, or their worldview ways, or even in their own intelligent ways. And yet they still don't fully understand. And sometimes we want to run away from that. But we don't. You see, lots of times often our view of God is really brought low by the size of the mountain before us, such as, again, as I mentioned it, attacks against our beliefs. And what the world, and what the Word of God says, or what man and science tries to say or even explain. See, we get hit all different ways. We get hit at every angle. And this is why it's so important for you to know the Word of God, because you can get sucked in by vain philosophies out there. You can get sucked in by worldviews out there. And you can get sucked in by some of the scientific stuff. And you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe I need to question the Word of God. No, be wary of that. Satan wants you to do that. Everything that we need to know is in the Word of God. Everything. But folks, I want you to understand, whenever you're hit with attacks like this and people's trying to twist your views and pull your thoughts away and trying to pull you into their realm, think about this. And I want you to understand the good news for us, that God, my friends, is greater than all problems, greater than our fears. Because when we begin to focus on God's greatness, it causes us to realize, listen to this carefully, it causes us to realize, when we focus on His greatness, that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think. Now, why am I saying this, my friends? Well, notice what Isaiah's reference to the greatness of God says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 to 31. Now, I'm not going to read all of them from 12 to 31. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. But notice Isaiah's reference to the greatness of God. And he says this, starting off in verse 12, "Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth, or has weighed out the mountains and the hills? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to be his teacher or counselor? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instructions about what is good or what is best? No! No! For all the nations of the world are nothing in comparison with him. You see what I'm saying? These are just a few passages in that chapter of Isaiah. And folks, look, when you have time, please read the rest of it. Read the rest of it. I never paid attention to that till I read it again and putting this together. I'm like, wow. How did I miss that? Much as I went through Isaiah, it got my noodle starting to think deeper. So basically, what is Isaiah trying to tell us here? Well, to me, friends, it's clear. It's a clear message. And it's telling us that depending on God's greatness will fill us with a victorious and overcoming power. Once you understand that, then you don't worry about the things that's going to happen. Yes, things do happen, but you know what? We have to purposely put it into our hearts and our minds, just like I did many weeks ago. And I looked at my wife and I said, baby, I can't help it, but you know what? I have to trust him, knowing that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, because that's how great he really is. I have to. I know I'm facing all these things. I know I'm having difficulties. I know I'm having pains and hardships and trials and everything else. But you know what? All I have left is him, and I have to trust that. That's all I got. And I'm starting to realize it now. The awesomeness of God. That's why it's so important in knowing the greatness of God. See, folks, again, let me stress this. Why is this so important for us? Why is it so important of knowing God's greatness for the sinner? Easy one here, very easily. Regardless of what the sinner realizes or acknowledges it, they, my friends, are hopelessly lost. They're lost. And bottom line here, there is nothing the sinner can do to save him or herself or keep him and herself out of hell. There is nothing they can do. Now you might be thinking, yes, Jim, there is. You know, no, hold on. Listen to how I'm saying that. There's nothing that you can do to keep yourself out of hell. It's what Christ can do. Make sure you get that. Make sure when you talk to someone, you cannot save yourself. And how do I know this? I'm fixing to show you proof. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 8 says this. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in a day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall the wickedness deliver those that are given to it. There's your proof. Man does not have that power. Only Jesus Christ does. And yes, friends, sin is a cruel taskmaster. And its reward, my friends, is eternal separation from God. That's what sin does to folks. They are eternally separated from God. And this is why, again, to me, I had to kind of chew the fat a little bit, and I had to take that passage, the heavens declare the glory of God and shows God's greatness to the sinner. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 says this. That's why I'm adding to this. It also reminds us to look unto him. and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. There is no one else. There is no others. His word says, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. I am God. There is no other. God's call for salvation, my friends, is wonderful. God is so great that if people will simply look to him in faith and prayer, he is able to save them. He is, not us. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. When you start looking up at the sky, if you get a good clear night, do as I started doing. The last few nights I couldn't because we've been having stormy weather and rain, so I can't sit on the porch and look up because, again, it's just so cloudy. But do what I want you to do, which I'm doing a lot now. What do the stars reveal to us? And the answer to this question is very simple. He is God. That's it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And friends, glory to me describes the awesome and innate essence of God that is to other than human experience, that is described as brilliant light or a consuming fire, which at once awes and threatens to destroy the beholder. Human language, even when it is inspired, human language, when it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, will never be able to paint a full and complete picture of God's glory. But where the language ends, the stars begin. The old saying, you probably heard this just as much as I have, a picture is worth a thousand words. The heavens, my friends, are a picture of his glory. So the next time that you turn your gaze upward, take some time to stare at it fully. Because a quick glance upward just isn't enough time for your brain to understand what it is seeing. And just when you begin to grasp the majesty and complexity of what you're looking at, remember this, and I love this. I didn't know about this, but I love it how it was put. When you begin to grasp the majesty and complexity of what you're looking at, remember, folks, it was all spun off of his fingers. This universe that you are so impressed with, it is his playground. The heavens are a testimony not just to his existence, but to his greatness. The stars tells us that he is God, and we are not. And spending some time at the stars is healthy for us. It really is, because it helps us to keep our lives and ourselves in the proper perspective. The stars tells us that God is bigger than we can ever imagine. And they remind us that we are actually smaller than we remember. It is impossible to stare at the stars, my friends, and not be humble like I was that night. Folks, He is God. We are not. We are loved. Now, scientists like Carl Sagan looked at the universe and he concluded that we are meaningless, we are insignificant, and we are alone. But sadly, this is his views. He's not even a believer. But folks, David's examination of the heavens led him to another conclusion. And this is what David says. David looked into the sky and it leads him to the same conclusions. God is God and he is not. But then he writes, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Knowing what he knows about God and himself. He's astonished that God would even know him. But not just that God would care for him. He says, and I love how he puts it, "You are God. I am not." But for some strange reason, you love me. God loves you. Friends, are you mindful of God? Do you call him to mind? Do you know him? There is a distance between us and God, a chasm, but a chasm doesn't get in the way of knowing him. But not only does he know it, and I love this, he cares for us. He cares for us. And this is not passive concern. It's not. This word, my friends, in that scripture is active. The word cares comes from a word. And pay attention to this. The word care comes from a word that means to hunt, to seek, to long for, and to care for. The picture isn't just that God knows us, but that he longs for us. So he seeks us out so that we can lavish care, a love upon us. Well, let me rephrase that. He seeks us out so he can lavish his care and love upon us. And little as David knew that one day in the future, the heavens would again show us how much and how far God was willing to go to seek us out, to care for us, to love us, to save us. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. He came to save us and show us his glory for what he did for us on that cross. And friends, to me, this is how the heavens declare the glory of God to us through Jesus Christ, who is in you if you're willing to let him into your life. And my last saying here, the only way I can wrap this up, only one word can best describe what this all means. Indescribable. Indescribable. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father,